Our text on this 27th day of the month is Psalm 27. Of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So far the reading. For the past 2 years, most of us have been on a bit of an emotional roller coaster because of things like lockdowns and other restrictions. And during the past week, concerns about the possible consequences of the Russian attack on Ukraine may have brought some dark clouds over us too. But it's not just big events like floods or wars that can impact us negatively. Because we are broken people living in a broken world, we suffer from things like loneliness, anxiety, depression, heartache, and uncertainty. Sometimes we feel down, and sometimes we feel let down. Sometimes we feel as if the earth has dropped out from beneath our feet. Sometimes things happen that just get to us so much that we feel we just cannot go on. This isn't a new problem, it's as old as humanity itself. But when we read a psalm like this, we can also see that we have a wonderful privilege. We know that we have a faithful God, a God who is present even in the midst of our pain. This psalm is firstly a psalm of confidence, confidence and trust in the Lord. It's also about seeking the Lord's presence, and it's also about being patient in waiting for God's will to unfold. Confidence in the Lord, seeking the Lord's presence, and waiting on the Lord. These are the three things the psalmist speaks about in Psalm 27. In verses 1 to 3, we read about trusting the Lord. In verses 4 to 12, about seeking the Lord. And then in verses 13 to 14, about waiting on the Lord. Let's turn our attention firstly to what the writer of the psalm tells us about a crucial thing in our lives, trusting the Lord. This is one of the most comforting psalms in the Bible. In the first couple of verses, David rejoices with confidence and courage because he knows who his God is. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, when we think of God, we often think of him in terms of light. And that's quite in line with what Paul teaches when he writes to Timothy that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwells in unapproachable light. Similarly, John speaks about Jesus in the following way: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." But the only place in the Old Testament where God is called light, or more specifically, my light, is in this psalm. And for David, light would have had a very special meaning. He was a shepherd who knew that the light of a fire was important to protect his sheep at night. He was a soldier who knew that enemies could attack under the cover of darkness. He also knew that there were times when he'd need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But he could take enormous comfort in the fact that even in such darkness, God was his light. It was with God that he could find safety. The light of God's presence was his security. And even if he had to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, the Lord God would be his light, his safety, his security. Friends, at times we can also come face to face with darkness. It may be the darkness of depression that surrounds us. For some it might be loneliness. Perhaps for you it's the darkness of an illness that the doctors may not know how to treat. Perhaps the darkness that you've had to face has to do with one of those dreaded diseases like cancer. Or perhaps you've had to face the darkness of having a loved one who is being ravaged by the plague of drugs. What do we do? How do we face this darkness that inevitably forms part of our lives? Where do we seek help? Now please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't make use of medical and other help. But brothers and sisters, true peace, that peace that passes all understanding, can only come by looking to God, by putting our trust in Him. Perhaps this morning you're feeling as if you're in a dark shed, perhaps with only a thin sliver of light shining through a small crack in the roof. But if you look up at that light, and if you realize that it comes from the one and only God who created heaven and earth, then what huge comfort and strength can you take from that? Light dispels darkness. It illumines the darkness. Even in the darkest of nights or the darkest of caves, darkness flees before the light. How much more does darkness flee from Jesus, who is the radiance of God Himself? This side of the cross of Calvary, for you and for me, the confidence and trust of Psalm 27 starts with Jesus. He's the light that shines brightness into our otherwise darkened lives. He's the light that drives all fear away. He's the one, the only one, in whom we can find the peace that will bring true calmness to our souls. But this confidence and trust is only available to those who have Jesus as their Lord. Now, there are some who claim to be Christian and they know about God, but they do not know Him. They name the name of Jesus, but they do not live for Him. They are like people who have read up all that they can about an exotic holiday resort, but they've never experienced it. And there's a huge difference, isn't there? David didn't just say, God is light. He said, God is my light. Jesus is the light of the world. His light will not be vanquished. It will not be overcome. But is Jesus your light? Can you say, Jesus is my light? And how is that then lived out in your life? Do you trust in God for everything? Do you trust Him with everything? When you're faced with decisions, the easy ones as well as the difficult ones, do you bring them before God, trusting in Him? When we look at ourselves this morning, is Jesus our light? In addition to being David's light, God is also his salvation and stronghold. What enormous encouragement that would have been to David. Perhaps he was facing enemies, or a war, or some sort of palace intrigue. But whatever was on the horizon, he trusted in God to deliver him. He trusted because he knew that God rescues his people. And because he knew that the Lord is their rescue and he is their salvation, David could cry out in jubilation, "Whom shall I fear?" And friends, you and I can also in delight resoundingly affirm that this also applies to us today. We may not be in a war zone, but we are nevertheless in a spiritual war, for Satan hasn't given up, and he will not give up chasing after us. We may not have people who want to break down our front doors and take over our houses, but the believing Christian, and especially the believing Christian who is willing to stand up for Jesus, will face opposition and will in one way or another be targeted by the enemies of God. But even then we can relax in the arms of God, for he has brought us salvation in Jesus. He is our spiritual refuge in the midst of the storms of life that howl around us. We can trust him to give us what we need to serve him. We can trust him to bring us home in his good time. And yes, we can trust him even when our bosses or our teachers or our friends laugh at us for our beliefs. Even when our governments and our television stations seem to do their best to belittle Christian values. Even when parents or friends abandon us. Yes, even then we can say with the Apostle Paul, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And beloved, God is for us. He has shown that in Jesus. He has shown that by placing faith in our hearts. He's shown that by giving us the great Comforter. And he shows that day by day, every morning, new mercies we see. He is the stronghold of our lives, the place where we are secure and safe. He's given us the assurance that he is with us, always, even to the end of all time. As we move on to verses 4 to 12, we see that the outflow of David's trust and confidence in the Lord is seen in how he seeks the Lord's presence. These verses give us a vivid image of David's heart's desire, a passion to be in the presence of the Lord. They show us how David, with single-mindedness and passionately, turns to God in prayer. His confidence in God is rooted in God's presence. Not only God's presence among his people in general, but also God's presence with David himself. Spending time with God is David's one desire. He wants to be with him. He seeks God's face, which means he wants to be in his presence. He wants to seek his will. He wants to speak to him in prayer and worship him. What does that look like in the life of a Christian today? Friends, the basic principle hasn't changed. Those who trust God love him, and they want to spend time with him. They want to worship him. They want to spend time together in worship with fellow believers. They want to live in the presence of God in their daily lives. But perhaps you're wondering if seeking God's presence means you have to spend the whole week at church. Well, you're more than welcome to do that, of course, for it's good to worship God. But that's not what this is about. Seeking God's presence means wanting to spend more time with him, with his word, with his people, and with doing his work. Is it realistic for us to say that we seek God's presence if we do not spend time with him, not only here on a Sunday, but also every day? Can we really say that we seek his presence if we do not spend time reading his word, studying it, and sharing it with our children? Do we truly seek his presence if he isn't part of our daily life, our daily routine? Do we only give him the time that's left on our busy schedules, instead of making time for him before other things? Can we say we seek his presence if we consistently live unforgiving lives? Do we seek his presence if we're not willing to share the great news of the cross with others? Do we really seek his presence if we do not bring big things, small things, all things to him in prayer? Beloved in our Lord Jesus, may it be the desire of our hearts to spend time with God in worship, in prayer, in service, and with all our lives. May we sing with conviction the words of the song, "I give you my heart." This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment that I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. May that be our desire, and may that be our song in life. In the final two verses, David returns to the theme of confidence and trust. But he also adds an instruction to wait for the Lord. David's confidence just oozes from verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's just clarify what the land of the living is that David's referring to. Is he speaking of our earthly lives or the afterlife, when all God's people will live forever? The answer is that we really need to think about both of those aspects. You see, even if his enemies are beating down the front door, David could be confident that he would see God's goodness on display. Even if war is looming and people were after him, even then he knows that he could trust in God, yes, even unto death. For you see, God is the great I Am, the God who will always be there, always present, even if the enemies overrun you. There could be pain or joy, suffering or relief, but God will always be there. But yet there's more, for even better news is that God's goodness stretches way beyond this land of the living into the life that is yet to come. What blessed comfort and encouragement that would have been to David to know that his king, the king of all kings, would always be there. But what about us? What can we take from this? Well, brothers and sisters, looking back from this side of the cross, we can just marvel at how much God's goodness has already been on display in our lives. Above all, just think of how God's goodness was made visible in the coming of Jesus to die on the cross to cover our sins, your sins, my sins. We can rejoice in that. We can sing out psalms of joy, for in Jesus, God's goodness became firmly part of your life and mine. He is our salvation. He is the foundation of our faith and the rock upon which we stand. We have the glad and wonderful assurance that because Jesus lives, we are also alive. And we have that magnificent comfort that he is always with us, not only in the life hereafter, but also in the here and now. Just as he was here yesterday, he is here now, and he will be here tomorrow. And knowing that, we can start to understand, we can just begin to understand how Paul could say that all things work together for good for those who love God. We can take comfort in that because we know that God is there yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can affirm with joy that whatever the unchanging and ever-present God's plan for us is, it is perfect. But having Jesus as your Saviour doesn't mean that your life will all be plain sailing. Sometimes a dark moon will rise over our lives. There will at times be grief mixed in with joy. Sometimes hurt will be mixed in with pleasure. There will be the loss of loved ones as well as the joy of newborn children. But whatever the things that come on our road, we can have confidence in the Almighty God. This is why David can say, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Now waiting on the Lord doesn't mean just sitting back and waiting. It means trusting in God's provision, whatever that provision may look like. It means placing things before God in prayer and leaving it with him. It means being patient as we wait for God's answer. For most of us, though, patience isn't something that comes easily. All too often we want to hurry God along. We want God to act according to our schedule. Even in ancient Israel this was the case. Isaiah writes that they said, let him be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Perhaps this is where some of you are at this morning. Perhaps you're waiting for direction in your life. Perhaps you're waiting to see how God's plan for you will unfold. And perhaps you're not waiting all that patiently. We've all been there at some stage of our lives, whether it's waiting for a positive answer regarding that job for which you've been praying for so long, or perhaps for that husband for whom you've been waiting all your life. But friends, God isn't constrained by time. He owns time. He doesn't operate on our schedule. You can't hurry God. No, you just have to wait. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Waiting on God isn't easy, but it builds our trust in Him. It isn't easy, but it shows our dependence on Him. However, this patient waiting takes courage. That's why David tells us to be strong, to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Those are the same words that God used when He commissioned Joshua to take the people into the land of Israel. These are words of challenge, but also words of encouragement. For you see, waiting on God is the way in which we demonstrate that we are weak, but God is strong. Waiting on God in humble patience is the way in which you and I live out our faith. By patiently waiting on God, we acknowledge our need to rely on Him and not on ourselves. Waiting on the Lord also reflects the confidence with which this psalm opens. Confidence and trust in the one true God. May our faith, your faith and mine, also be displayed in how we wait on our God. People of God, this psalm is one of confidence and trust in the Lord. It's also a reminder to us to seek the Lord, and it also encourages us to wait on the Lord with courage. The picture that this psalm paints for us may have had its origins in difficult and dangerous times in which the psalmist found himself, but they also speak to us on a deeply spiritual level. For in Jesus, God has brought spiritual light into our lives. In Jesus, God has brought deliverance from sin. In Jesus, God has provided a refuge for us against the storms of this life. Beloved, we have received such amazing blessings from an amazing God. May we all join in saying, "The Lord is my light, the one who guides me. The Lord is my salvation, the one who delivers me. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, the one in whom I take refuge. The Lord is my God, the one in whom I trust and on whom I wait." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, that we can know that you are the light who guides us. Thank you that you are our mighty fortress, the fortress in whom we can take refuge. Thank you that in Jesus you have rescued us from the eternal consequences of our sin and given us salvation. O Lord, please hold us in your loving hands. Carry us. Protect us. Calm our anxieties. Heal our pains. And Lord, give us peace, the peace that can only come from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.